Why is it so hard to talk about sex? That is the question that I ask in this week's episode, which is a conversation with Leah Seafour. She is a communications expert. She is an author, a life coach, a podcaster, and somebody who just brings real clarity to conversations about conversations. So in this episode, she goes deep and she gets practical about ways that we can communicate about intimacy and things that kind of make us blush, the things that we don't want to talk about, with actual tools that you can use to understand yourself, to understand your partner's communication styles, and to learn ways to make these conversations happen in a calm way so that you can both hear what's being said and learn from it. This is one of my favorite episodes. It's one that I return back to often because it gives me so many tips and reminds me, oh yes, I need to approach it from this way because communication styles are not intuitive. We are all different. If you are new here, I'm Lisa Welsh. Welcome to In Bed with Lisa. On this channel, you are going to find shame-free conversations to help you have more fun in bed because life is too short for mediocre sex. So you are welcome here, whether this is your first time or you've been here before. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share in the comments below if there's something else that you would really like me to cover. Hello and welcome back to In Bed with Lisa. Today I have one of my favorite people on the show with me. Her name is Leah Seafour. She is a podcaster, speaker, author, and life and relationships coach. You are going to love the wisdom that she shares. Welcome, Leah, to my bed and to the podcast.
Yay. I wish I was there. It's freezing here. I can come and snuggle in your bed and talk nonsense for the day.
It would be lovely. You'd be so welcome in the bed, but there's no water here in Durban, unfortunately. So yeah, you could get in the bed, but there's like no cup of tea to offer you.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. It's so tough there at the moment.
Oh, but you know what? It is fine. We do still have some warm weather. Durban is always warm. At least there's that to say. So
exactly.
Thank you for joining us today. I think it's going to be a super popular episode because the one thing I love about you and your work is the way that you just have clarity around everything you deliver. You are a communications expert. I've read your book and I loved the way that was delivered. It was delivered with clarity and it gave me those like aha moments of, this is why it's been going wrong. Like me and my husband, we have some very different communication styles. And so your book really helped me with that. It helped me to see where we are similar, where we are different. And I thought you would be great to bring onto the show today. I would love to learn from you, if you could share with our listeners, why is communication so difficult when it comes to intimacy and what can we do about it?
Oh, that's a big one. It's a big one. And it's, I think, why is communication so difficult, period? You know, people struggle to just communicate effectively with everyday stuff, but intimacy and sex is the most vulnerable place. And, you know, we put on such an act for our partners. We put on such a performance very often of what we think our partners want in bed, or you know, we hope that we're going to magically emit some kind of mind message that they're going to suck out of the ether to know what it is you want them to do to you. And the problem is people aren't having these conversations outside of the bedroom. I think people wait until they're in the bedroom and then suddenly stuff isn't okay and they don't know how to speak about it. That's not the time. you know, the energy's moving and but the minute you're going to bring a conversation into it, it's going to kill everything. So I think outside of the bedroom, like with any other part of your relationship, if you are like, what are the rules around how we handle finances in our relationship? What are our agreements around co-parenting? How, you know, what adventures do we want to have as a couple and how are we planning for that? You know, you talk about stuff in life as a couple, how we have sex and how we want intimacy should be a normal part of that conversation. And you can always, you know, speak about previous experiences. This is what has worked for me. This is what hasn't worked for me. These are things that I've never explored, but I would like to explore. How do you feel about that? You know, what are your desires? What are your fantasies? And what's really important in having a conversation about intimacy is practicing the art of neutrality, because the very big thing your partner is afraid of is that you're either going to laugh at them or you're going to have a facial expression of disgust. Like, you want to do what? And then you're like, oh my God, you see, this is why I don't say anything, because yeah. I don't want to deal with your reaction. But quite honestly, if you've been with someone in a long-term relationship, you do have an idea of maybe where you can go and where you can't go. But also, I'm going to contradict myself here to say long-term relationship also gets stagnant and people just get stuck in a routine. And we are always evolving and changing as human beings. And what I like last year is not necessarily what I like this year. And we get exposed to different literature, different TV documentaries, different movies, different ideas. And because of that constant social media influence in our lives, we suddenly see a post that goes, oh, I never thought about that. I think that could be quite interesting to try. And that's where you can also bring that to your partners to go, I saw this online, I watched this documentary, I saw this post about this thing, you know, that I thought seemed quite interesting. Have you ever heard of it? And is it something you think you'd like to explore? So there's a way of bringing it into a conversation that's not like a we need to talk kind of talk, you know, we need to talk about things, because everybody just goes, oh, breaks into a rash when you say that statement. So I think it's with any communication, it's learning how to bring the big issues into really normal everyday conversations. We're making dinner, we're talking about your day. Oh, I saw this post about bondage. You know, what did you get for dinner? You know, it's just gently bringing it in, because if you make a whole big scene about it, if you've got it, like, now we have to have a time to have this conversation and we've got to sit down. Like, there are times with communication when that type of approach is very necessary, but I don't feel like that about sex and intimacy conversations. Those need to be much lighter than people make them.
This is different to what I've heard. You know, a lot of people, like you say, they you want to schedule the conversation, and I guess choosing your moment is right, but it can just be little tiny snippets rather than a big bombshell of actually I want to try threesomes. Like, it can be like, oh, this is kind of curious. So you think starting lightly and testing the water?
Absolutely, starting lightly. And you know, many, this is where movies give us a great opportunity. You see something in a movie, like a couple, you know, the game where you go to a bar and you pretend you're not together, and then you watch your partner flirt and get picked up by somebody else. Like, that's a common thing you see in quite a few movies, and it's like, I'd love to try that with you. Why don't we give it a try tonight and see what happens? And, you know, as with everything, you always have your safe word or your safe sentence or your safe body cue that indicates to your partner things have gone too far and we need to stop and pull back here. But it's always also important to have a check-in at the end of whatever this new thing you are exploring, because, you know, it takes time to really actually process how you feel about something. And I think for anybody breaking out of sexual boundaries and trying new things, there's a moment where you really don't know how you feel about this.
Yeah.
It's exciting, but it's taboo. It's physically arousing, but mentally there's shame because maybe you've come from a very religious background. Maybe you've come from a very conservative background. So you've got that voice mentally going, oh, this is not okay. But your body's going, yeah, it's amazing. And you've got to actually first communicate with yourself. I'm feeling about what just happened here, about what my partner is suggesting. What, like, let me just sit with this for a bit. Because what happens is somebody will explore something new in the bedroom, and it's immediately afterwards the partner goes, well, do that. And it's like, just like give me time.
Yeah.
Because that was completely new. And I need to really feel my way into that to see what that was like for me. So the nervousness in couples of let's talk about this, let's discuss this. It's a big one. And every couple I've ever worked with has this problem. Every couple I've ever worked with. It's not an easy thing for couples to go into.
I really resonate with what you're saying, Leah. And now that you're putting it this way, I can actually relate to the same thing playing out in our relationship, where there's something that we've both been curious about trying. And it's been years actually in the progress towards it actually happening. It's been years of talking about it. It's been years of talking about it during sex, you know, little snippets, you know, in the moment. It's been light. It's been comments. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. Oh, I heard this thing. And it's a gradual build up, because we're not only testing how we feel about it individually, but also how the other person reacts when we say the things. And letting ourselves get ready to actually take that step. And even the steps, we've done a lot of half steps and a lot of like, oh, that went wrong, or ha ha ha. And it's been a journey of maybe 2 or 3 years to get to the point where we can actually try the thing and still have space for our nerves, and then have a debrief afterwards, and then have a like, oh, can you believe, afterwards. It's like such, I really like the way you're saying it, because I hadn't realized that we'd actually done that. But it wasn't like a sit down and talk for an hour about it. It's actually been a very prolonged little tidbits for a long time, and it worked for us.
And I think that's, people got to manage their expectations when they want to introduce a new sexual desire into their relationship, because the expectation is, I'm going to have the conversation with my partner, and then tonight, it's happening tonight. And your partner, you know, needs time. You need time. A new idea needs time to seed itself, to evolve and to grow. And I love what you've said. It is. It's a lot of baby steps, very tenderly testing the water, being very gentle with both responses. It's not just about your need. This is both of you in this together. And you know, we can't compartmentalize a bedroom environment as much as we would love to. The general state that you are in from your day is totally impacting how you show up in that intimate space. Mm. And if you've had been having this whole conversation about tonight, or like next week, we're going to try. Yeah. And there's been this massive build up to it. And then on the day, maybe you've even booked a hotel room. Maybe you've even booked a whole thing. You've got the babysitters. Yeah. But maybe on that day, your partner's boss came down on him really hard and he lost a really big client, or, you know, your partner had a friend who passed away, or, you know, you never know what massive event happens in that moment. And suddenly all those plans just go out the window, because where you are in your life is not conducive for what we had planned. So there's got to be a fluidity and really seeing the energy of where you're both at.
Yeah.
Because the communication might have been the verbal discussion about it, but we know that more than 90% of communication is non-verbal. So you've got to learn to really pick up your partner's body language, their cues, their moods, their eye contact, the way they're breathing, the way they're holding themselves. And all of that is going to say, oh, you know, tonight's not the night. Or, wow, they look really receptive. This is the night.
Yeah.
So a lot of perception has to go in to exploring new stuff with intimacy.
I love that. And Leah, you say that we have to learn our partner's language. Do you think that some of this is intuitive, that we as humans can pick up on that if we just really asked ourselves, you know, like how much of that is intuitive and how much do we have to learn?
We've got to learn a lot. There's only one of the communication systems that's very intuitive, and that is the connector. So you know, in my book, for those of you who don't know, that's called That's Not What I Meant, and it's the Smart Savvy Guide to Communication. And I talk about four communication systems in the book, which is the observer, the connector, the listener, and the analyzer. The connector is full body language receptive person. They can see it. They can sense it. They can feel it. They've got a gut instinct. They know what's going on with other people before those people know what's going on with themselves. Okay. So the connectors are incredibly awake and intuitive. The other three systems, not so much. So especially if we're talking about an analyzer, the analyzer is always looking and when wanting to understand the process of something. What are the rules? What can I do? What can't I do? And there's not an intuitiveness with analyzers. If you haven't given them the instruction, they're never going to magically intuit it. It's just not how they operate. So you even, you know, and I know that other systems will say, but it seems so clinical to have to say, I would like you to do this and then touch me there and then pick me there and then fiddle there. Like they're like, that's like giving them a rule book. It's like giving them a manual for sex. And it's like, well, it really helps them. It really helps them to know what you want, because the worst thing for analyzers is this guessing game. Mm. Like, does this work? Doesn't this work? Well, like, just what is going to work for you? Listeners are very, very, very internalized and not big communicators. They won't even know how to ask for what they want. Mm-hmm. If you are saying, tell me what you need, they won't know how to ask that. And because for a lot of listeners, they've got a lot of touch sensitivity. Mm. You know, intimacy has to be delicate. It's got to be gentle. It has to be at a way that works for the listener, but they need time to really think about what that means for them. They're not quick at getting to the bottom line, a listener. So it may take exploring something a few times before the listener can feel it within themselves to know, okay, this works, this doesn't work. But that listeners need a lot of patience, you know? And then you've got the observer, who is very visual. So visually, everything has to be really stimulating. They're not very big into the long conversations. They don't want to have long, big talks about things. And, you know, a lot of them want the lights on because they want to see what is going on. The visual stuff is what's really important to them and can be quite impatient. Like, let's get going. Come, I don't know why we're waiting for this. Why do we have to have another conversation about this? Let's just like go and see what happens, you know? So the different systems will behave very differently when it comes to sex and intimacy. Absolutely.
That is so interesting, because like I've read your book and I do know that you say that this in there, but I still imagine that we should intuitively know. And it's just a great reminder that actually, no, we don't. This is why we get confused. This is why there's clarity, because there's two different systems trying to communicate in different ways. And by understanding where we're coming from, understanding where that person's coming from, and understanding your natural style, then we can have the conversations that help us to actually connect intimately in the way that we want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you are totally a connector. That's who you are. You are just, you know, you do intuit. And, you know, everything with you will be about feeling. This is how I feel. This is how I want to feel. This is what the sensation is. But for an analyzer, everything is far more cerebral than that. It's far more intellectual. It's like, did it work? Did it get you to the place you wanted to go to? What is the system? What is the process by which we start here and end there, where both are satisfied? And for you, that's like your worst nightmare. It's like, I hate systems and I hate rules, and let's just figure it out as we go along, you know?
Yes.
So if you've got a connector and an analyzer, or an observer and an analyzer, or a listener and a connector, like these different couplings, they're going to be very big roadblocks between the communication of how exploring each other with intimacy is going to happen.
Wow, but it is doable, right?
Oh, totally, totally. If you know how to have the conversations, you know, everything starts with a conversation. It starts with a thought, and that thought then settles in your body, and then it becomes a bit like an earworm. It's like you can't let it go, and you keep thinking about it, and maybe you're Googling a lot, and maybe you're following a lot of people and watching a lot of videos about it. And this is the other thing I also want to say, is that if you want to explore something new, let's say you want to explore bondage in your relationship, that's so far you're not having this conversation with anyone else. This is your idea. You've been thinking about it. You've been following pages. You've been watching videos. This has been going on for weeks, maybe, until you are at the point of going, right, this is so, like, I totally want to do this. And then you're going to have the conversation with your partner of like, I've been exploring and I'd love to try this with you. But you want your partner to meet you where you're at then. But you've taken weeks to get that point.
Yeah.
And you expect your partner to be in the same place you are in terms of receiving this as an exciting new adventure. So understand, and the best thing is to say to your partner, I've been doing a lot of research. I think you should do the same.
Yeah.
Here are some cool sites. Here are some videos that I've been watching. Here's someone who's an expert. Why don't you go and explore a bit, see how you feel about it. And then in a few weeks, we can talk about it. So stop expecting your partner to be on the same page.
Yeah.
In the same time frame when you've not been, you know, you haven't been there for weeks.
That is revolutionary, because I am that super excited. You know me, I jump the gun. I get really excited about something and I want to bring you this thing that I'm so eager to try, and like, oh my goodness, look at this thing, and blah, 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 blah. And then get crestfallen when they're not in that same energy. Yeah. So you're right.
Yeah, that's such a connector thing to do.
Like, look at this new world I've discovered. Come and jump into it with me. And they're like, wait a minute.
Just slow down there. And you know, the other thing is, as a connector, you are an incredible multitasker. So you have the ability to mentally, I know I'm having trouble with my kids, or I know there's drama at work, but I can put that to the side and still be present sexually. With other systems, they can't. Other okay. systems, you know, their focus is either 100% or if there's one thing in their world that is not okay, they can't focus on anything else. So just because you are able to, you know, bring all of that together, it doesn't mean your other systems are. And especially like somebody like an analyzer who works in a very linear way with their thinking is that if I haven't resolved this, I can't move on to that. So I have to sort out how I'm going to get money to pay rent by the end of the month. And that is occupying 100% of my brain power. So you asking me to watch all these videos on bondage is not going to happen until I have found a solution for this problem. And this might take a month, you know? Right. So yeah. So, you know, and a listener is a huge researcher. A listener takes long because they really do research. They're the researchers of the four communication systems. And they're going to go into research that you haven't even considered. And they will come back to you and go, oh, did you know all this other stuff existed around bondage that you didn't even know? So researchers and, I mean, listeners who are researchers take a long, long time. And you know, the observers are the ones who are quick to get into action. They're going to go, great, let's go, you know, let's get this done.
Do it.
Yeah, let's just figure it out, you know.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, timing is important.
Wow, Leah, it's fascinating. And I think firstly, everybody needs to read your book because it does, like I started off by saying, it does bring clarity to this and it's good to dip into because I read it through and I found myself still needing to go back and just say, okay, so let me just think about this. And I'm certain Gavin is an analyzer, so I need to go and check his system and how do I bring things to his attention? And it's definitely been helpful. So Leah, how can people get hold of your book and how can they connect with you?
So my website is leahsefor.com. That's LEAHSEFOR. And all of my social media handles are at leahsefor. So you can find all the details there. My book is the print book. Like I said, it's That's Not What I Meant. And it is available in South Africa in all major bookstores. So exclusive books, you can get it on Takealot. And if you are not in South Africa, you can get the audiobook. The Kindle version is available on Amazon. And all of those links you will find on my websites and my social media platforms.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing your time with us today, Leah. You have given us a lot to think about. I'm looking forward to hearing how people go ahead and implement this. So let us know on my platform, on Leah's platform. Leah loves hanging out on LinkedIn as well. So if you're on there, make sure you go and find her. Thank you again. I'm looking forward to hearing everybody's feedback.
Absolute pleasure.
That's all for today. Did you enjoy this week's episode? I want to hear what you loved the most. As promised, all of Leah's links are in the comments below. And if you want more free information about fun sex, then head to my website, inbedwithlisa.com/free-resources for my ebook, which is The A to Z of Fun Sex. 56 pages and 26 fun ideas that will have you cancelling tonight's plans. So be warned. Thank you so much for sticking around and I'll see you next time.
This podcast was proudly brought to you by Lizzie Bliss, South Africa's favourite luxury adult toy store. Lizzie Bliss discreetly delivers premium adult toys to homes, businesses and offices all across South Africa within 48 hours. All toys are gift wrapped, packaged in an unmarked box and placed inside a plain courier bag with a generic waybill. Seriously, this is as discreet as it gets. Shop from a wide range of rabbit vibrators, wand massagers, bullets, suction toys, dildos, couples toys and many more from the comfort of your own home. Lizzie Bliss. Spoil yourself.